Let me pray, and then we'll get into what I have for you this morning. Father, thank you for a beautiful day. It feels like spring is finally here. Thank you for this day. Thank you that we can be together and celebrate and worship you. You are a God who loves us. You are a God who is unstoppable. You are a God who wants us to share your love and grace with the city. And Father, hundreds of us go out to do that individually every day of the week, but we also get to do it collectively on May 5th. And I just pray, God, that as we go out and do simple acts of service, that people will see your love and grace in powerful ways. Father, thank you for what you're doing in this church. Father, thank you for the privilege I have to lead this church. Father, thank you for your grace, your goodness. May all of us keep our eyes fixed on you in these days as we walk with you and as we seek to live 6-8. And so this morning, God, as we wrap up this series, Naked and Unashamed, I pray once again that you will speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been looking since January at the issues surrounding human sexuality. And I want to thank you for hanging in there with me. We have been seeking over the last several months to understand the issues and to see and discover a biblical, Jesus-centered vision for human sexuality that honors God, blesses relationships, and is good news to the world in which we live. And I hope the journey has been informative for you. I hope the journey has been helpful for you. And what I want to do this morning is simply this. As we wrap up, I want to share 10 affirmations with you. And these 10 affirmations have been agreed to by both the ministry staff and the leadership board. So as we wrap up this series, I want to do a summary sermon where we look at 10 affirmations. Affirmation number one is this. At Saanich Baptist Church, we affirm that every person is created in God's image, is deeply loved by Him, and is thus deserving of our dignity and respect. Genesis 1:26 says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." Every single person bears the image of God. Everyone. And in every single person, that image is profoundly marred. But every one of us still bears the image of God. Which means every person is of incredible worth and value and is worthy of great dignity and respect. Do we believe that, church? Then let's make sure, no matter what we do, that we live that out. Because that's a crucial foundational value in dealing with other human beings. Not just in the area of human sexuality, but just in dealing with people in general. We need to see everyone we encounter as made in the image of God. Number two, at SBC we affirm that God created us in His image as male and female. Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. As I've said several times during this series, God did not create a genderless human. He created a complementary pair. Humanity is sexed. Male and female. It's very countercultural to say that, but it's how God created us. At SBC, we affirm that marriage is a one-flesh union between two sexually different persons, a man and a woman. In Genesis 2:24, we find God's basic design for marriage. We know this is an important verse because it's stated several times in the New Testament as well. And it says, "That is why a man leaves his father and mother, and he's united to his wife, and they become one flesh." The word "leave" there, In the Mideast tradition, a woman would leave her family and join her husband's family. But you notice here, it says a man must leave too. In other words, for God's basic design of marriage to work, a man must leave his family, a woman must leave her family, because they're creating together a new family unit. leave, unite. Unite in the Hebrew in which the Old Testament was written means to glue together. When a couple share their vows with one another, they are making a covenant commitment, a binding commitment to each other. And not only that, when they share their vows, it says in Matthew 19, God is sealing them, is gluing them together. When Eve was presented to Adam in Genesis 1, Adam said in Genesis 2 this, the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. When Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, that phrase is an ancient oath of loyalty. And when Adam spoke those words to Eve, he was speaking an oath of loyalty to her. He was making a covenant commitment to her. Leave, unite, and then one flesh. God not only created males and females with unique and glorious differences, he also created them for each other. Eve was created out of Adam, made from his body. Thus, their one flesh union was something of a reunion, a joining together of that which had originally been one. And as we've seen in this series, that one flesh union between a man and a woman is a profound union that deeply touches not just the body, but the soul and the spirit as well. God's basic design for marriage involves the creating of a new family unit, a covenant commitment, and then two sexually different persons becoming one flesh. And let me just say, there is no instance anywhere in the Bible of any sexual union being ordained or blessed by God except that which is between a man and a woman. Next, at SBC, we affirm that sex is God's good gift and is to be thoroughly enjoyed within the marriage relationship. Sex is a good gift from God. In fact, there's a whole book about it in the Old Testament, the Song of Songs. And in Song of Songs, chapter 5, verse 1, it says this, eat, O friends, and drink. Drink your fill, O lovers. And many think that this is God speaking it. If it is God speaking, it's the only time he speaks in the entire book of the Song of Songs. And he's telling the couple to enjoy his good gift. God wants married couples to delight themselves in the gift of sex. At SBC, we also affirm that the fall has deeply affected all human sexuality. We live, we all know this, in a fallen world, a world in which sin has deeply impacted both human relationships and human sexuality. And in our fallen world, no one's sexuality is innocent. Everyone's sexuality is broken in different ways. There is no one that has a perfect Genesis 1-2 sexuality. In fact, the truth is today, all our sexual orientation does is define what area our sexual temptation or maybe our sexual dysfunction will be in. All of us have a fallen sexuality. We need to acknowledge that. Then at SBC, we affirm that Christ followers are to avoid all sexual immorality, whether it's heterosexual, homosexual, or otherwise. Whether heterosexual or homosexual, sexual intimacy is inappropriate for anyone outside the context of the one flesh union we call marriage. Hebrews 13:4 puts it well. It says this, honor marriage and guard the sacredness of sexual intimacy between wife and husband. God draws, notice this, God draws a firm line, not just a line, God draws a firm line against casual and illicit sex. Paul says in Ephesians 5:3 this, but among you, that's among Christ followers, among us, there must not even be what? A hint. Not that there must not be sexual immorality. There must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. It's pretty clear that as Christ followers, we are to steer clear of all sexual immorality. But what is sexual immorality? Sexual immorality, the word, the two words in the English, is one word in the Greek in which the New Testament was written. The word is porneia. And one person defined porneia really, really well. They said this: porneia is sex deformed by sin. It is sex that is contrary to God's good intentions. Porneia takes God's good gift of sex and twists it. In other words, sexual immorality is sexual activity outside of God's designed intent. And God's designed intent is that sexual intimacy is for the marriage relationship. It's not for before marriage. It's not for outside marriage. It's for inside marriage. Thus, sexual intimacy is inappropriate for anyone outside the context of the one flesh union that we call marriage. And when it comes to same-sex sexual activity, the Bible tells us that same-sex sexual activity violates God's created intent, is contrary to God's ways, and is thus wrong. Now, we as a church acknowledge, too, that not every Christ follower affirms what I just said. They would affirm that we should avoid sexual immorality, but they would not agree with us around same-sex sexual activity. Some Christ followers today affirm gay marriage. Some in our church affirm gay marriage. And we're welcome to, and you're welcome here. Our church is affirming what I just said, but if you differ with us, that's fine. We can live in the tension of our differences. And so we want to acknowledge that not every Christ follower agrees with us on this point. And please, please, let's remember as a church that sexual sins are not super sins. For some reason, we're tempted to put sexual sin at the top of the sin list. And yet, if there was a hierarchy of sin list, Jesus would have placed greed at the top of the sin list, not sexual sins. So while as a church, we will not minimize the impact of sexual sin, we are also not going to treat sexual sins as super sins. Next, at SBC, we affirm that most people, not all people, but most people do not choose their sexual orientation, nor can they completely change their sexual orientation. Most people do not choose their sexual orientation. People don't wake up one morning and say, hey, today I think I'm going to be gay. Whatever the cause, most people do not choose their sexual orientation. And most people cannot change their sexual orientation. As we looked at a few sermons ago, research clearly shows us that the vast majority of people cannot change their sexual orientation. Also, let's remember that there's a difference, and we need to remember this, between orientation and behavior. Orientation is part of who a person is. Behavior is what a person does. Orientation, and when we talk about gay and lesbian people, orientation is an attraction towards a person of the same gender as you. Behavior is physical sexual activity between persons of the same sex. Your orientation is not chosen. Your behavior is chosen. And that's why if you look at the Bible, you will see the Bible never condemns orientation. You can look at the five verses or the five passages that directly talk about homosexual behavior. None of them condemn orientation. It's same-sex sexual activity, not same-sex attraction, that the Bible considers wrong. At SBC, we affirm that we will radically accept all the people God brings to us. Every person today longs for a sense of belonging and acceptance. And the church, and I'm sure you'll agree with me on this, the church should be the place where they find both. Thus, as a church, we are going to strive hard to show the same radical acceptance that our King Jesus showed. Here's a problem in the North American church. The North American church has often worked off this model. Here it comes. Throw up the next slide. The model goes like this. Behave, believe, belong. In other words, what we say to people is, in order for us to accept you, you must behave a certain way. After all, we don't want people in our church unless they behave appropriately, which we define as behaving and acting and dressing like us. And so we say to people, if you behave like we behave, if you act like we act, then you need to believe like we do. So if you act like we do and you believe like we do, then and only then will we truly accept you and you can belong. Now, what that model creates is comfortable and clean, because everybody believes the same way, everybody acts the same way. But that model is not the model that Jesus gives us. Here's the model the New Testament church, here's the model the North American church should operate by. It goes like this: belong, believe, become. What we need to say to people is, we are going to radically accept you as you are, whoever you are, wherever you are in your journey in life. We're going to accept you. We're going to welcome you. You can belong here, because we know that as we accept you, as you belong here, we know that you're also going to then experience the unconditional love and amazing grace of Jesus. And while we know our job is not to convert people, because it's not, that's the Holy Spirit's job, as we journey with you, because you find belonging and acceptance here, as we journey with you, we are going to pray and hope that you will make the decision to follow Jesus, that you will make the decision to believe in him. And then once you do that, you begin a lifelong journey of becoming more and more like him. Do you see how that model is vastly different? We're going to accept you as you are. When you walk through the doors, we're going to accept you. We're going to love you. We're going to say that you can belong here. And then we're going to pray that you're going to encounter Jesus in our midst. And as you encounter Jesus and believe in him, then you begin the lifelong journey of becoming like him. Doesn't that model make a lot more sense? Okay, four of us. Yes! Yes! I got four of us. Got a ways to go. Okay, that's it. We're preaching on this for the rest of the year until we all... The problem with this model and why churches don't choose this model is because this model is messy. Because not everybody acts the same way. Not everybody dresses the same way. Not everybody believes the same way. And that creates mess. But here at SBC, we're choosing to accept the mess. As a church, we are willing to journey with people, all people, no matter who they are, no matter what their sexuality is. As they seek Jesus, as they find Jesus, as they journey with Jesus, as they grow in Jesus, as they serve Jesus, we are going to journey with people, and yes, it'll be messy, but we as a church are choosing the mess. And please remember this, because we forget this. Acceptance does not mean affirmation. But acceptance does mean that the church should be the place where all people know that they are going to find acceptance and belonging. But if the North American church is honest, the North American church will acknowledge that we have failed to accept LGBTQ people. When it comes to the North American church and the LGBT community, often the church has been more interested in being right than being loving. Often our words and our actions have communicated harshness and condemnation, not love and acceptance. And often our ignorance and our fear has caused us to reject rather than accept. As Christians, Christ followers, we need to be brutally honest and admit that we have not treated LGBTQ people the way Jesus has wanted us to treat them. And that realization caused an organization called the Marin Foundation to start something called the I'm Sorry campaign. I'll tell you a little story. The Marin Foundation started in Chicago several years ago when a guy named Andrew Marin, who was a Christ follower, said the tension and the angst and the anger between the LGBT community and the church just isn't right. And he felt God was calling him to do something. So he moved his wife and children and himself into Boys Town in Chicago, which is the LGBTQ area of Chicago. He moved right into the center of it. And he said, I'm going to go here and I'm going to seek to be someone who builds bridges between the church and the LGBTQ community. And in 2010, a foundation staff member gathered a group of Christ followers and went to the Chicago Gay Pride Parade. And this small group of Christ followers were wanting to show attendees of the Pride Parade that they were sorry for the ways the church had failed to love LGBTQ people. Now this idea of Christ followers going as a group to Pride Parade to apologize to the LGBT community became the Marin's Foundational annual I'm Sorry campaign. And every year, the Marin Foundation would go to the Chicago Pride Parade to say that we're sorry for the way the church has treated the LGBTQ community. And that campaign caught on. And so all across North America now, Christ followers are going to Pride Parades in their cities wearing t-shirts saying, I'm sorry, and holding signs apologizing for the way the church has treated the LGBTQ community. And they're doing that as a way of seeking to build a bridge between the LGBTQ community and the church. Now, you may or you may not agree with that approach, but at least they're trying to do something. Here's what I hope you agree with. I hope you agree that we need to build bridges with LGBTQ people, and I think we need to say we're sorry for the way the church has treated them. And I stand here today and I call us as a church to repent of the attitudes we've had that have been wrong when it comes to LGBTQ people. And when I talk about repenting, I talk about changing our mind, changing the way we act. And rather than rejecting, rather than holding at arm's length, we would say that we want to radically accept you and love you because we know as you belong, you'll encounter the love of Jesus. We'll pray that God will do an amazing work in your heart. You'll come to follow Jesus, and then you'll seek to become like Jesus. We can't have that kind of impact on people if we're rejecting them, holding them at arm's length, and condemning them. And so I stand here today and I say to LGBTQ people, I'm sorry for the way the North American church has treated you. I'm sorry for the way Saanich Baptist Church has treated you if we've not treated you in a Jesus-appropriate way. And I call for us as a church to repent, to change our ways. Which brings me to the ninth affirmation. At Saanich Baptist Church, we affirm that we will love LGBTQ people as ourselves. Talked about this a lot during the series, but in Matthew 22, Jesus calls us to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. Thus, we are to love LGBTQ people. We are to love the LGBTQ neighbor as ourselves. That means we're to treat them with the same kind of grace and respect and care and welcome and love that we would want to be treated with. Here at SBC, we are going to seek to be a church that causes the people of this city to say, there's a church that holds a traditional view of sexuality, but really loves LGBTQ people. I mean, really, really loves them with the deep, deep love of Jesus. And in order to become a church like that, we need to deal with our own personal fears. Have you ever noticed that Christians can be fearful people? Have you ever noticed that? And when it comes to accepting, loving LGBTQ people, Some Christ followers are fearful, which is somewhat understandable because the truth is all of us have fears concerning people who are different than us. The problem is, unless we deal with those fears, fear causes us to keep other people away. It causes us to harbor negative thoughts. It causes us to become prideful. It causes us to hide inside our Christian bubble. It causes us not to see people as created in God's image and dearly loved by Him. It causes us to reject rather than accept and love. What would it look like, church, if we laid down our fears of LGBTQ people? What if we said enough? And we decided that we're not going to let fear win because God does not give us a spirit of fear. He gives us a spirit of power and love and self-control. Here at SBC, we're going to seek to not let fear win. Rather, we're going to fix our eyes on Jesus and allow Him to give us a compassion and a love for LGBTQ people. We are going to choose to follow the command of Jesus and love LGBTQ people as ourselves. We're going to seek to love. And then finally, number 10, at SBC, we affirm that the gospel is the good news for all people. There is no sin. There is no guilt. There is no shame that Jesus lacks the power to heal, forgive, release, and redeem. Because Jesus wants to redeem and restore. He wants to heal and transform what's been torn apart by sin. We're going to see this starting next week in our series, Unstoppable. But our Jesus wants to seek to restore that which has been torn apart by sin. And that means the gospel is good news for everyone. The gospel is good news for all people, including LGBTQ people. The grace of God can flow into any life and bring healing and forgiveness and transformation. Amen?
Amen.
Awesome. Let me finish this morning by doing simply this. I want to read the 10 affirmations I just went through. These, again, are affirmations that are affirmed by the ministry staff and the leadership board of this church. And here they are again, just to summarize. At SBC, we affirm that every person is created in God's image, is deeply loved by Him, and is thus deserving of our dignity and respect. We affirm that God created us in His image as male and female. We affirm that marriage is a one-flesh union between two sexually different persons, a man and a woman. We affirm that sex is God's good gift and is to be thoroughly enjoyed within the marriage relationship. We affirm that the fall has deeply affected all human sexuality. We affirm that Christ followers are to avoid all sexual immorality, heterosexual, homosexual, or otherwise. We affirm that most people do not choose their sexual orientation, nor can they completely change their sexual orientation. We affirm that we will seek to radically accept all the people God brings to us. We affirm that we will love LGBTQ people as ourselves, and we affirm that the gospel is good news for all people. We affirm it. Now we need to go live it. Let me pray. Father, thank you for this church. God, I pray as we affirm those truths that we will now go live them. But Father, we can only live them, as we're going to see next week, as your Spirit empowers us. Father, I just pray that your Spirit would empower this church to live out these affirmations. In Jesus' name, amen.